Blog Talk Radio.
Like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
Show number 1,558. Welcome to another Hump Day special. I'm your host, Michael Osingham, DJ Honeycomb, as always. Glad to have you in the house, albeit some sad underpinnings, but also some joy mixed in with the pain. Happy birthday to my middle girl, Leah Michelle. Love you lots, darling, to the moon and back. And happy heavenly birthday to my beautiful sister, Leah Emanuel, otherwise known as Skippy. As a matter of fact, everybody called her Skippy. So, Skippy, you know I love you. My brother-in-law, Leroy, was just conversing with me briefly. I know he loved and missed her. So, hopefully y'all can continue to watch over us and keep that love bond strong. Now, last week, we were unfortunately having to deal with the reality of a Cold War that has always been a hot war for black people. My brother, Pat Freeman, up in Buffalo, ran down what was going on up there, and now here we are again off of Uvalde, Texas, which is in Bexar County, kind of a suburb of San Antonio. We're at a elementary school. 21 people are dead, 20 down, one in some sort of critical condition. I'd had to update that, but right now that was the last count. And my brother Pat is with me now. Pat, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm good. We're making it.
You know, when we spoke last week, we probably figured the next time we spoke, it would be about sports or something related, you know, but this, we have to call it what it is. This is genocide in its purest form. We talked about how scenarios were set up to wipe people out, but the words were always danced around. There's no dancing around this. They're trying to eliminate folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. These are acts of war.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can sugarcoat it any way else. And when there are acts of aggression against a particular group or people, it warrants an intelligent response. Now, unfortunately, you get a tremendous amount of people grandstanding, but they don't offer any solutions or a response to these acts of aggression. That has been my biggest problem here in Buffalo, is that you have a tremendous amount of grandstanding, but very few people offering a viable solution when you have an act of aggression or war. If I come in and massacre innocent groups of people of a particular community or culture, that is an act of war and is deserving of a intelligent response. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
The United States warned Putin that if you invade Ukraine, we will respond.
Exactly.
It was not a military response per se, but it was an economic response with military aid.
Yes, they did.
So Putin did it anyway. Response happened. Economically, it is hurting Russia. There's no question.
That's right.
But it was a response. You have to respond. Mm-hmm. You cannot put your response in the hands of people that are members of these groups that are attacking your community. MKUltra is a military and law enforcement technique, more so military. It is not a fallacy. It is the training of young people to carry out heinous acts upon some form of command or some form of mind control. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing 18-year-olds. This is an 18-year-old in Buffalo, 18-year-old in Texas. How
yes,
do they
indeed.
Have that type of training unless somebody is soliciting them for these deeds and training them to do them? So all
right.
I'm looking at now is trying to help our people understand that there must be some form of response, be
exactly.
whatever it is. If it is us putting pressure on the NFL to pressure Fox to curtail their propaganda machine with proper journalism, that's a response. But there must be some form of response, Mike. There has to be.
I agree.
Some
you
form
can't
of
do
response.
Nothing. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You can't sit back and watch this happen because you'd just be waiting for it to happen again.
True that. We made the point last week of bringing up the phrase Manchurian Candidate. Now, I brought this up because the book, The Manchurian Candidate, which was written by Richard Condon, came out in 1959 and was made into a motion picture in 1962, directed by one John Frankenheimer. The subject matter was so hot that the movie was put on ice for a good 20 or so years before it was put back in mass production, especially after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Ultimately, the phrase Cold War is an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp. You know, you're going to have situations where shit comes to push comes to shove, and when shit is fan, people give you lip service and not a proper response, as you intimate. Black people need to be reminded that the Cold War, the so-called Cold War of the 1950s, has always been a hot war when it comes to black folks. They have never let off their intents to do what they need to us, to benefit themselves and to subjugate us. We got Reggie in the mix. Reggie, can you hear us?
I'm on the road. I apologize for calling on the road. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I want to say thank you, Deacon, for defensive justice. Hope I'm coming through okay. Thank you, Deacon, for defensive justice, for standing up. And I just got to say that Tucker Carlson and that guy that used to be on ESPN, they have shown white supremacy to the max. I mean, not only is it talking about how Joe Biden was crippled, old-looking, and doing Democrat talking points, but we have mass shootings going on of people of color. They have just told you point blank, we don't give a damn about black folks, and we're taking the gloves off. So to quote the Black Eagle Joe Madison, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do indeed? Patrick, when what happened in Texas hit the fan, what was the response up in Buffalo?
I think it just cut deeper into the wound. That's been, I've gotten a lot of calls today. But
yes.
Buffalo is devastated, Mike. Our community is devastated. And we're at the process point of burying the dead. The officer was given full honors today. There was another funeral. There were two funerals today. Another funeral yesterday. Another funeral the day before. One Friday, one Saturday. There are funerals tomorrow, and Friday, and Saturday. And the response is strange. I saw something today that I'm wondering, did anybody else see it but me? You know, I'm a student of history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing that in the area of the massacre, there are food giveaways. There are outside community members cleaning up. It almost seems like a takeover. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I kind of looked at what, if you go back to the colonial period, one of the techniques that Europeans did after they slaughtered, raped, maimed, and attacked, they came back with food and missionaries.
That's
right.
That's part of the white supremacy game plan.
That's the recovery part, right? After I'm slaughtered, raped, maimed, conquered, I'm now going to we're going into the recovery phase. Whereas you will now are under my rule. So I'm wondering, is this the retake of this part of the community? And letting you know that we're not leaving.
Well, you always know history repeats itself.
And without
Hey, Pat, real quick. How has been the response to the brand? And I know, hey, I'm biased, but the brand new job you did with the Canadian News Network, what kind of response have you gotten back from that?
From who?
The Canadian Network.
Oh, yeah, very good, very good. So far, good response. I only did 3 interviews. You know, I didn't want to do too many because out of respect for the situation at hand and the victims and their families. So I only did those particular ones and with Mike and Dr. Ilafari Hutchinson and Canadian TV. But those were through the newspaper that I write for. So they wanted us to, you know, they basically targeted the newspaper for commentary. And, you know, black newspapers are only so big, so it was only 2 of us really doing interviews, so we kind of split them, and I let Dr. Eva Doyle do the bulk of them. But the response has been good so far.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want to try to strike the right tone. But I've seen a lot of grandstanding that I don't think is good. And a lot of people are just so, I think so many people are traumatized. They're just looking for something to say or do. And some of the things they're saying or doing does not offer a proper response. Because
True.
There has to be a response.
Yes.
If you don't respond.
I'm with you 1,000%.
You're just setting yourself up again, because it can happen again at any time.
You
and
know it
no
can,
one,
and the atmosphere in which these things can happen can make it just as volatile. I've got the professor Craig with me as well. On the heels of all this, gentlemen, the NRA has decided that their convention will go on. we know this is not the first time a large-scale incident involving gun violence has happened in contact with things that the NRA does. Now, my question is, will this flow concurrently and they'll just say, what a tragedy, our thoughts and prayers, et cetera, et cetera? Or will there be grandstanding, as Pat indicated, along with this? Anybody on the thread, please feel free to respond.
Good evening. Insofar as the question, will there be grandstanding? Yes, it's already started. It started almost from the first shot, basically. You got Bible pumping, and I would venture to say, ain't no place in the Bible tell you you got a right to carry a gun. So they can cut that bull crap. And it's interesting that the people who are supposed to be so merciful and all these other things that you're required to be followers of the way, but you can't find, you know, most of the stuff that you encounter that they're manifest to be as part of their day-to-day, this is how we live our lives. You got people out there who got more guns than the army, got bigger guns than the army. Shoot and ask no questions and then make up lies after the fact. And as we progress through this, we're in the, this is the third day. And, you know, we're getting to that point where, okay, maybe tomorrow or the next day we're going to bury the first ones, the first victims, and they're going to start boo-hooing and all these other kind of stuff. And then you hear all the knee-jerk, like that fuzzy-faced clown from Texas who's supposed to be a senator. You know, he's gonna stick his ass in front of stick his face in front of the camera and for how what a great conservative he is. And you have to see one thing that I have got to point. I am not afraid to bring this up. You want to talk about this noise about all this deep conservatism, and you can't touch the Constitution. Now, for those of you who are not constitutional students, there was a time that the Constitution said you were not a human being. You were not. You had no rights. On one hand, and even if you did have rights, what was that line that Andy Griffith used in the King of Kaiser the Camel? Ain't no white man got no reason to uphold any law that covers a black man.
That's right.
And this is how it was done. It didn't take, you know, you could have all the rights you wanted, but if you had one white man that says, okay, no, we're not gonna let him have his rights, okay, you just can't have your rights. And see, now, moving forward to the last few days, is it just me or this? These things are coming rapid fire. And these little nutty white kids, I heard one guy today, his claim was, well, you know, they have gun laws in Chicago, but there are more people who are getting killed in Chicago. Well, yeah. But if you look, the place that he was talking about, there's a lot more people in Chicago, in that area of Chicago, than there are out in that little town,
a lot
in the little town in Texas.
A lot more.
And at the end of the day, how is these people get to go find the softest possible targets? You know, these little punk shot kids. You know,
that's an issue, Patrick. That's an issue that we need to connect on. You know, these elderly black people, these young brown people down in Texas, you know, they were only made soft targets because of the availability of them. You know, has anything happened of note to say that something was being done in Buffalo prior to or even after what jumped off in Texas?
No, very similar. And I know you had mentioned the Manchurian Candidate, but the movie that I am thinking about that I think they simulated what we're seeing is Salt with Angelina Jolie, if you remember.
That's another
where
one,
they,
yes.
Where they grabbed the kids and started training them in warfare and kind of brainwashed them from the time they were kids until they were adults. And I think that's more of what we're seeing, because this kid up here, he has no expression. He knew what to do. And I've been trying to explain this to people, because people upset up here, they're just very angry. And they were saying, you know, how come he was allowed to give himself up?
Yes.
And if you see, you notice the kid in Texas was killed. Now,
yes,
the difference is he tried to flee the scene in his vehicle, ended up getting killed. The guy in Buffalo, we're trained in law enforcement. We come into an active shooter. We are supposed to risk our lives to negate the threat. We're supposed to stop the threat. As soon as the police arrived, he took the gun and pointed it at his neck. Right? So the police did not, the threat then became against himself. He didn't, that just didn't pour into his head. Somebody trained him to do that. And then he dropped to his knees and put the gun down. You see what I'm saying? That changes. Somebody trained him to do that.
I agree. That did save his ass.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I gotta backtrack to the, and we have Eric Satterwhite in the mix as well. I have to backtrack to the shooting at the church in South Carolina. You know, Fred. You know, church community is strong down there where you are in North Kakalaki. Was there extra information that was done, extra things that needed to be said, precautions, et cetera, after that shooting hit the fan?
Well, let me put it this way. There are considerably more churches today that has people who are packing shows.
Yep.
You ain't going to just walk in and walk out. It's to be remembered. And a lot of churches here, you got soldiers who are members. You got soldiers.
That's right.
The former soldiers who are members. You know, you got guys who are active duty in the works. So I mean, we got, you know, I know guys can take you out with one hand and don't need no gun. But, you know, they do more, in some cases, they do more and better protecting this hand than the police, because you can train your members to do it the way you want it done. And
that's
right. you also have people out there who train congregational situations, and you know we went through several years. Oh, it don't take all that. And when when the South Carolina situation occurred, the young man who wanted
tattoos,
and in that situation, and a couple more happened. You're like, okay, let's face reality. Let's face certain realities here. Okay, we have situations where things get really real quick, and you know, we've had incidents where, you know, we had a lady pass out in church one Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
She suffered an aneurysm. But because of people we had on tablet at the time, we were able to help her immediately. So there's an upside to it as well as a downside. And then, you know,
the downside would be nobody paying attention and, of course, nobody responding. The upside, well, really there is no upside, because this is a reminder that the Cold War, the supposed Cold War, is Cold War for white folks only. That this Cold War has always been a hot one for black folks. Eric, I know you're here with me, and thank you for chiming in along with Reggie and Patrick and Fred. But what do you make of this? How much military is mixed into this? How much of this so-called lone nut nonsense is in effect, or is this just straight science?
Yeah. What's happening, Michael?
What's up?
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to any kind of story, but in reality, you know, you mentioned the church in South Carolina. You know, you mentioned Buffalo. You hear this rhetoric and people speaking to, oh, something needs to be done. Well, who is that somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck is that? You know, it sure the hell isn't, you know, the NRA. I mean, there's more weaponry in the household in the hood in Buffalo, you know what I'm saying,
true,
and arms,
mm-hmm,
right, than the NRA could ever think about keeping up on in every city across America,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's not like a lack of armament in the community. But what it is a lack of is fiber and a whole community of fucking punks. Because the scenario is, as a soldier, you know, if you have 21 people who are United States citizens, say they were killed by a terroristic event in a foreign country, the U.S. military is locking and loading, right? It's a non-discussion.
Exactly.
Sorties
exactly.
are being flown, flight lines
yep.
are ready, satellites
mm-hmm.
are geared, and here comes
mm-hmm.
Predator drones or amps, and it's going to be, you know, immediate and quick and swift, you know, retaliation.
That's
it's
right.
not going to be let's sit down and have broth
mm-hmm.
and elocute shit about historical things that happened to our people. You know, who gives a fuck
Definitely.
About that in 2022?
Yes.
You know? Where the hell, you know, it's the effing fiber. You know, what's the song? You know, everyone's singing, but ain't nobody swinging. Yeah. You know, so as long as, you know, the cat can get his fried chicken and some Hennessy's and just retort on this process, that's nothing. I mean, you got a cat driving 200 miles to go to a community scout out. Last I checked, it sure is quiet in his community.
Hello.
Last I checked. And you've got to be kind of like really wording certain things a certain way in this kind of environment, because a chump doesn't want to hear these things because it challenges the root of their fucking manhood, because at some point in time, you know, it doesn't come down to this. You are a fodder. If you could, if I could just roll up in your spot, bust on you, take out your 86-year-old grandma, who's there to get her vittles, who lives 86 years of her life, for that. And we're going to sit around and kumbaya shit and talk about who needs to figure out what?
Exactly.
It's a shame. And I don't like using that word. It's a shame, the lack of fiber and marrow that exists in 2022. Mm-hmm. And these are events that speak to the fact that, guess what? Y'all ain't going to do shit. That's what it speaks to. Clearly.
Patrick. Patrick, can you back?
Think,
can you back what Eric is saying? Is what Eric saying true?
He can't. You can't say it any better, brother.
Mm-hmm. Let me
Very few.
Let me finish. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, it's like, you know, that sit around broth and elocuting bullshit and wearing, you know, your Andy Williams sweater and singing fucking Christmas hymns. What's that going to do for anybody? You know, I seen this show not too long ago. And it was, I don't know, it was an old Western and shit. Yeah, I caught this excerpt. But what it was, you know, it's a metaphor, but it's totally relative to what we're talking about. And they had cattle. And someone was trying to cut off. One guy was kind of crass, and one person was more sophisticated. So the crass guy, you know, real rough guy, old school, you know, tactics, you know, ain't no, had no problem stepping to you. Had no problem, you know, raising hands to your grill. But some of you motherfuckers need to get your grills busted, right? And so what happens is, in this, or Tyson would say, everyone's got a plan until they get, you know, punched in the grill. So long story short, these guys are sharing this river, right? So they cut off the old rough guy's cattle, right? And his cattle can't survive. So he gets there and he gets ran off. They start busting shots. His cattle can't drink from the same river. So some, you know, some legal stuff. And then his son go back to talk to this tycoon dude, right? And says, Dad, they wouldn't let the cattle drink. You know, they ran us off. And his father pondered that shit for 30 seconds. And the first thing he said after he heard that, why ain't y'all dead?
There you go.
Because you were supposed to step up
and
not be ran. And if you would have went down like that, you was better off than coming back here reporting shit. Right? So, you know, these alarming stories, you know, they have a bandwidth of what you can take. You know, we all know these young people, you know, are, you know, on some other stuff. You know, I mean, you know, there's relative, I mean, there's relative to that point, of course. You know, this is just, these things are not random. But there's other things I've mentioned in the past. There's also cosmic events. You know, these things that happen within the cosmos, that when it's these solar storms hit this planet, those who can't bear that energy, they go, they get tricky. These are known facts for those who can bump up to that level. There was a time in our ancient sciences and chemists, for those who know these things. I've been trained under the Dogon in Mali, understanding the Dogons. They can see Sirius A, Sirius B with their naked eye. Understood? So there's things that happen that are just beyond some serious everyday 3D level news report, gun control shit. We, you know, if, you know, we're speaking outside that realm. So if you ask me about certain situations like this, I mean, like, where are you at? Where are you at as a man? Where are you at in your life? You know, NRA ain't going to be going no fucking where. Because like I said, I mean, when they do gun turn-ins here in Sacramento where I live, and they'll offer people, like, you know, I don't know, $100 gift certificate at an online shop or a Costco or some
shit.
If you turn in your gun, and these cats be bringing in, and they be bringing in every level of armament known to man. It'd be like 8,000 guns just laid up. So, oh no, we're armed. There's guns in within our communities. We know that. So what's NRA going to do about that? But and then if we got a cat like this Dylan dude who rolled up in that church like that, that guy could walk around, his family's eating and shit. You know, they still got their residence. They still got their house. And so, oh, we don't know what got into our boy. You know, what? I mean, I don't know, man. Sorry. Don't understand these concepts. You know, and so with that being said, you know, we can chop this up to it blue in the face about, you know, the politics and all that, or the poly tricks. They always play a part. But I'm sorry, but this is just disgusting, absolutely shameful, utterly debauched, the lack of fucking nuts in the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talking about getting these nuts, Patrick?
I cannot disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been disappointing. What you see here, there are those among us that are doing our due diligence. And but unfortunately, for the most part, the response has been more grandstanding and a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't go into everything that what we're trying, you know, there's a few of us that have the skill level to do what we need to do, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, research-wise.
What does the mayor of Buffalo say, Pat?
Oh, come on. Grandstanding.
I know. That's why I said it. That's
grandstanding.
Joking. If a dog gets through a fence and a mall somebody, and we know these stories all across the world.
Right.
The dog is captured and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
The owner is held reliable, right? From my way, or my understanding, if we can't find the dog, well, the owner accounts for the dog.
That's right.
He counts for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Got a minute, G? You know? This person, you were responsible for this animal. Right? And then law enforcement, I mean, there's fines, there's things this person has to deal with if that happens. Sometimes it can be a criminal thing. But if a person leaves a baby in the car and it gets too hot for some negligence, and that child dies in that heated car, the parents can go to the jail. Correct?
Come on. That's it.
Basic shit. But we can get busted on and blown to smithereens. And then sit around here and kumbaya shit and talk about systemic protocols. I mean,
that's important
what has that gotten anyone?
Eric, that's important because
at some point in time, man, you know, you got to take a stand. But right now, there is no stand. I mean, you know, you ride with cats like, okay, all of us here, I'm hopeful that if we were in a public venue, all of us together, and something, you know, even if a guy, one of us decided to get, you know, whatever reason, belligerent, and now we're in a situation where it's about to get down, I would hope that no one's running to their car keys, running to their cars. I hope they're going to take a stand. The odds may not be likely that may happen. The odds are likely that may happen. So as a person raising and coaching and teaching young black men across the country and having to advise them, like, I mean, you may even need to, you know, cut dude loose because he's heading for a bid, a 15-year bid, minimum,
right,
lifestyle-wise.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to a certain place, you may have to switch your trajectory. And that has nothing to do with loyalty. You're loyal to what's going to be empowering to you. So in these environments here, you know, when these things take place and we sit around and, you know, we can talk about all this blue in the face. I mean, people can elocute all day long and talk about, oh, yeah, that's cool. But at the same token of time, man, no one's going to take anyone like that seriously because they got to realize that heat's going to meet heat. And now if you at a spiritual level, which, again, is an ancient science, all long forgotten, long given up because people have given that shit up for a Social Security number. You know what I'm saying? A Social Security number, you know, fucking, you know, food stamp and shit, you know, canceled all their godliness, all their divinity, which relies within them. when you get to a certain battle, mm-hmm. can't shit fuck with you anyway from that spiritual component.
Yep.
Whenever you're able to get accosted at this level, there's no psychic self-defense. There's no,
no
spiritual defense. You are no different than a hunted animal in the fucking woods. Bust on the bear,
that's
kill
right.
the bear, who gives a fuck? We'll just have a bear ceremony. Same shit's happening right now with people.
Mm-hmm. It feels like everybody needs
that?
To understand.
I'm all ears.
Yeah. Everybody needs to understand that aspect of it. Because a lot of folks will talk, but few will. It will matter to few when it's time to actually act. A lot of folks aren't up for the moment. It's one thing to be surprised. It's another thing to say, not today. And
you got to be of such a nature,
like
Michael.
You said,
Michael, you
got to
be of such a nature. And there was a time you could be of such a nature that you go to the woods and the most vile animal will see you as a friend because that's the energy you're generating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These are direct experiences, man. You know, and so what happens when none of that's available to you anymore? What happens when your defense, your protection? I'm saying these people are in their spiritual place of worship. To get let this person in, total stranger who had nothing but empathy for them, and there was nothing intuitively and instinctively in their collective instinctive nature of calibration, they couldn't figure out this is a hostile environment.
Yeah,
obviously the answer was they could not.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, Secret Service type agents are the way they scan. They can just scan, and the way even law enforcement is trained, certain levels of them,
mm-hmm.
they can just look at body language and know who's fucked up. In Hollywood, they call those people casting directors.
Yes.
We know the bad
yes.
guy when we see him, when they, right? They know who to cast it. We know the
exactly
guy's going to get
right.
all the chicks. We know the girl's going to be the most popular. That's how they cast it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens
yeah.
to the instinctive level where you just can't sense these things no more and you're walking around like fodder, totally devoid of any instinctive level, hostilities in your midst, and you don't recognize that instinctively? First thing someone would share to me when they got in a situation, I go, well, what did you feel? What did you
mm-hmm.
feel? What were you doing? You couldn't recognize some shit was about to pop off?
We are at a point where our spirits are on swivel. I got Tony McClain in the house with me, and, you know, it gets to the point, church, grocery store, street corner, it's like it don't matter anymore. It's gotten to the point where it's like Gary was right. Last week, Gary said the only way for real gun control, every brother got to strap up. And it ain't got nothing to do with starting nothing. It's just to make sure they won't be nothing. And
but you know what, Mike? If you're strapped, but you don't know the principles of the strap, other than just being strapped, you have no difference than having a spoon or a knife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or
you're
a
right.
butter knife. And so there's
you're
a
right,
conceptual
you're right.
mindset. It doesn't mean anything like that because you have loaded, but that's to encode your own culture, and that's what happens
mm-hmm.
to the quote-unquote black crime shit. But once they get the bust
mm-hmm.
on you, your guns are numb.
Yeah. Now, that makes sense. Excuse me on that because I stand corrected. But, Tony, just where Eric was going, I'm asking you, is it at that point where enough's enough? And that's the thing that needs to be brought about rather than just standing on the corner hoping somebody will do something or say something or give you one of those thoughts and prayers. I thought it interesting that the CNN correspondent who said, did you forgive the shooter? I was hoping to God somebody was going to say no. And don't you know somebody said yes, and it just pissed me the fuck off. Am I wrong to feel this way?
No, because, see, let's look. We're beyond it being enough. You know, you would have thought, you know, you would have thought it would have been enough after Columbine, after Sandy Hook, or after, I mean, the real sad part about it now is that we're becoming desensitized to it. It's almost like we're, you know, dare I say it, it's almost like we're in that Gil Scott Heron role where it's just a B movie now. And that's,
yep,
to me, that's the dangerous part, because I definitely think we all need to be quote unquote strapped, so to speak. If not so much strapped, at least to defend yourself. I think at the end of the day, you want to be able to defend yourself. And stun gun, Roscoe, whatever. Because it's beyond spiritual warfare. It's beyond the mean streets. It's beyond the purge. It's what have you. Because I look at it like, I've always looked at it like this. We already know how certain segments of white folks think of us anyhow, but now they're I go back to what Malcolm said after the Kennedy assassination. You know, chickens coming home to roost.
That's right.
There's been so many chickens now that basically churches, Popeyes, and KFC can go out of business. That's where we're at right now.
Come on.
End of the day, we have to protect ours and our own. And what's kind of crazy is you hope you're not in the quote-unquote wrong place at the wrong time. But think of the insanity of that. Basically, going to school, going to church, and going to the goddamn supermarket is now considered being at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes, yes, dehumanizing.
I mean,
exactly.
And mind you, we haven't even gotten into situations where, like, my man Bosom John is going home and gets killed.
Can he go
in
his own motherfucking home?
Own home. So that's what, you know, it's the, and see, that's the part that needs to be, see, that's the part that needs to be brought out. Because, see, look, these things play out in so many acts. You know, the act itself happens, and then there's the outrage, then there's the cameras, because, like, I was actually on my way to, I'm going to palm saying this, I was on my way to Bible study last night when I heard about about the shooting. Matter of fact, I caught it on NBC, and matter of fact, I was watching it at the very moment when Lester Holt said, you know, it is now, the governor has now said it is now 14 deaths as opposed to 14 injured and what have you. And it was almost, and as he was given, as he was, it was very, it was, and maybe this is a bit much, but it was the first thing that came to mind for me. It was sort of like Walter Cronkite having that little break in his throat when he announced JFK's demise. And so you remember, think of what the times were back then as opposed to now. And the crazy thing is, fundamentally, it hasn't changed.
See, I got a question for you, Steve. When you had Will Cain and Congressman fucking Tucker stand there and talk about Democrats talking points, to me, nor do they push white supremacy, but it's a segment of this country that sits back and waits for their marching orders to go out and wreak havoc. How much trouble or how much damage do these people on Fox do, in your opinion?
Well, it's all of them. You know, see, the sad thing is, it's not a Republican thing, it's not a Democrat thing, because you've got just as many. Now, look, Fox is shameless with it. I know, and I am not, and we should not let them off the damn hook, because we know what their agenda is. But you've got these toothless Democrats as well. It's because see, the fact that everybody's looking for a photo op over these kids' bodies, you know, that's like these kids being killed all over again. That's like these kids being all over again, because the fact that folks want to make this into a political issue, God forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
They need to pick a Roscoe in the chest for just for that mentality. You know, I know that we're quote unquote, you know, we're a Christian land and we're supposed to, you know, turn the other cheek and all the other stuff. You know, two wrongs don't make a right and all of that. But at this point in time, right now, it's like, you know, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing?
I mean, not a fucking thing. You already answered the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's my question. When you have a national
wealthy network that's more white supremacist racist and are not staying
the
same,
that's the question I'm asking
the
panel. How much damage is done?
Especially the amount of money that they poured into this kind of propaganda. Well, we'll see. Put it this way. I got no problem saying this. I pray to God someone puts a bullet in them one of these days.
For real.
Because you reap what you sow.
Be a political leader. Be around. If you do harm and it's not in the defense mechanism, there's things called a righteous kill. I mean, I think they made a movie with that title. It's called A Righteous Kill.
Yes, they did.
Right, and that's usually self defense. And even at that capacity, there is a debt you pay for doing so, right? Yet you got to be of a fiber where you know it's the right decision is being made. You got to be of a calibration and have evolved to a point that you stand in your square and you know how to deal, you know, and know how to maneuver, you know how to flex, but also to have the bandwidth and the force within you to protect generations and know how to protect those who come underneath your knowledge level, but to let them know that if it pops off, you got to be ready to throw. That's it.
Sure.
You got to be ready to throw and be right and be ready to throw, you know. And if the greatest warrior is the warrior who's never fought the war, but there comes a time,
that's right,
you know, that if it ever comes to that space, then you have to be prepped for it. And I can't make the direction of which or make the suggestion which way a person goes. But I do know that whenever you can aggress a person and it's silence and it's kumbaya, that speaks to a nation, that speaks to a character, that speaks to a fiber, that speaks to who you may be as an individual or a community or whatever it may be. And it's really sad
in that sense.
And it's not reflective of everyone, because it's never been an everyone thing. But when you come to this diaspora and have this kind of dialogue and people are looking, I mean, you have to represent, man, you know, where you, you know, why aren't you, you know, ready to be able to step into, up into the fray? You know, I mean, if situations go off, I mean, things can get uncomfortable. But you're supposed to be in a position and a mindset as a general mindset to know how to maneuver. Come from the greatest minds on the planet. All that's been given up for the remote control, for your iPad, searching porn all fucking night, you know, social media, you know, placating yourself, you know, ego tripping on, you know, all these other scenarios like that. None of that matters. You know, what matters is what kind of work did you put in while you was above Earth? And then what kind of message did you spread? It has nothing to do with religion. Anyone who represents that kind of character is a threat within this realm. But right now, that's not even matters. It's no time. It's no longer the time to play little small soldier. You know, playing a small soldier doesn't matter. You know, we're people. You know, those are heartbreaking to hear children at that age. You know, no self-defense mechanism. Total trusting that when their parents get them dressed to go to school in the morning, drive them however they get there. They sit around their peers. You know, they deal with teachers who are, you know, in that part of the country, probably not getting paid much, but maybe doing it as a labor of love. Yeah,
yes,
it's an education
exactly.
environment. We can dog that system out all day long about all its flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a little vested for people. For someone to roll up like that and do certain things like that for whatever reason this person was instigated, which isn't just some guy woke up crazy. I think Patrick, I heard him make some points that he elaborated on well. I kind of ride with some of his suggestions there because that's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people in there
yes.
who appear physically in human form to have two arms, two legs, and a head. They appear to be just a regular Joe. I mean, you've got motherfuckers masquerading as humans who are fucking zombies. Because you're
Thank
alive
you.
And walking
how,
does not make you alive.
How evil, how fucking evil is it that the governor of Texas – when he gets the word that 20 young people, 7, 8, 9, 10, were fucking murdered, and he says, oh, you know, yeah, we lost a few more, blah, 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 our thoughts and prayers. Fuck that.
But,
every
but,
Texas
mostly
should be
mostly Hispanic children,
that.
Correct?
Yeah,
young Latinos,
yeah.
Latinos and Latinos.
Yeah.
You know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, I mean, there's no self-defense mechanism for an 86-year-old grandmother. There's no self-defense mechanism for children that age. And that is
exactly.
an act of war. That is an
mm-hmm.
act of war.
Absolutely.
Period.
Patrick is right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person in my own that I have to be talked down a lot, over mainly over the years, and that is nothing about me, but I'm just saying because my instincts are what they are. And the thing is, it's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I mean, it comes a point in time, I just can't be, you know, I'm not down with having a cup of broth and shit and negotiating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
The thing about that is I think all of us do a good job as fathers who have been to do what we can to protect our loved ones. You know,
absolutely.
But you know, when you come from a warrior class, it has nothing to do with like, you know, some street bullshit, gang bullshit. Even
mm-hmm.
though I know people in the set, God bless them, you know what I mean, you know, would ride, you know what I mean, if something was not, you know, correct because of some things I've helped many people do within those
mm-hmm.
realms. I appreciate that. You got to talk them down. But the whole point being is we have this war. I can't be sitting there. I mean, you want to introduce me to 10 people, I need to meet 7 warriors and 3 statesmen. Sorry. Sorry, you know, my inner circle, hook me up, let's connect with 7 warriors and 3 states. I can deal with some states because they got a place. But I need to ride with warriors.
Yeah.
Not warriors
there
are flipping, not some mind control. I'm talking about those who know what the game is.
And
there
you
go.
Mike, let me chime in on this one. Eric, I know what you're talking about. You know why?
Right, thank you.
Because I've seen this for a long time. I've been around here now 70 years, bro.
Right,
We got a lot of folk who want to go back to We Shall Overcome, looking for some kind of savior.
That's long
and
gone.
Warriors. And that, unfortunately, we have some people who believe that and want to use that as their form to deal with what's going on. You need to have some people who deal with the obvious. You know, you go high, I go low, you go high, nonsense is out the window. When it comes to killing children, this is about something's wrong. When it comes to the fact that the Democrats have put 20 times to try to get change the gun laws, and 20 times they have been denied, Beto O'Rourke today going to the press conference of that weak ass governor in Texas saying the blood's on your hands. That's what you got to do. Stop all this beating around.
What if 10 world changing geniuses were sitting in that classroom in Uvalde?
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
And all the families and all the pain, the suffering, the parents, the whole fracturing of damages done there. And, you know, they took the killer out. Yeah, you know, Border Patrol, whoever, however that played out. There's some, you know, these stories, man, get zanier and shit, how that all played out. But
chill.
At the same token, the time, man, it's like, you know, it's just unfathomable to do certain things like that. And then that's where, like, you know, if you know, I mean, where these people love watching these gangster movies, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you know these things happen, then everyone associated is getting rolled on and shit wherever the fuck this story is. Don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but when the United States rolls out predator drones because there's a hostage situation, and hey, listen, when they roll them out, man, they're not talking about, you know, using tear gas.
And Tony, what you said about, you know, the aspect of people talking about turning out the cheek, I always said if they start turning the cheeks, we all be speaking a version of British English if they had
pretty
that.
Much.
So we ain't
pretty
turning
much.
The cheeks.
Well, see, yeah. I don't mind turning. Yeah. See, they said turn the other cheek. My thinking is, oh, that means that I can turn his cheek to them, right?
But the church say,
the cheeks in 2022 is what someone sits on. That's the cheek being turned.
Look at how the Jews play out that scenario of turn the other cheek.
Preach.
You turn mine, I'm going to take yours off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, preach.
You turn mine.
Turn the other cheek is what you sit on, your butt cheek. That's the cheeks being turned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a brother came down, he was chicken, and said that most of you mofos would rather switch than fight.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you'd rather shake your ass and get down with the nitty. What happened? Where is that? Where is that energy? Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, we're not dumb enough to just roll out there and just start randomly doing dumb shit, right? This is at a level that if a person calibrates it that way, this conversation is not meant for them.
And the bottom line
right.
to me is
that's their interpretation.
When the guy kills his grandmama, that should tell you something right there.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, that's their interpretation and shit. But at the point in time, he had to sit around here. Oh, we need to talk to the order. I mean, man, dude, please. You're about to get stepped to, man. We need to have a really strong dialogue if we're going to walk that bridge.
Thank you.
That's right.
Kill grandma. Then they go kill kids. Oh, you need to be shot twice in the head.
Patrick, I think what Patrick Freeman said earlier is right at the heart of the matter. There are too many people who are gesturing and giving lip service to something that needs nothing but action. Unfortunately, we're not going to see the action until it's right in our backyard. Personally, instead of a collective neighborhood, a collective community, it comes down to, well, shit, I got to pull out Roscoe now because something's threatening my home. You know, it's like there's no break. And that's what I was trying to refer to when I was talking to Tony, being at the church or at the grocery store or anywhere. Our spirits are literally on swivel. You know, it was one thing when we play on the sporting field and we're competing. It's another thing to be out here trying to live our lives, trying to go safely, trying to stay safe, trying to take care of our family and to play with this shit. It's a whole other animal.
Unfortunately, there's just been a lot of natural, intuitive, instinctive self-defense, like self-defense components lost. That's what it speaks to me. Because, you know, I mean, I was taught a long time ago, and I'm certain there's people who may agree, that if it don't feel right, don't follow through with it, right? There's been many times I've been to a place, may have dropped a pretty decent dime to, you know, to get into a facility, right? Years ago, not recently, I don't, you know, hit these spots. I know what to avoid, you know, you get wisdom. But at a certain point of time, I could walk in there, energy wasn't right, I left. Right?
Yeah.
Just turned around and left. Wow, you're leaving already? You just got here. You know, you don't want to stand to get back in? No, I'm good. Because the vibe wasn't right. Miles Davis was out on stage. There'd be 20,000 people waiting for him. He'd blow one note.
That's right.
The fucked up vibe in here, and the show was over.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? I do not leave my house as this open fodder, this big, you know, beach ball balloon that I'm waiting for someone to say, come smack me around.
Lord.
Me the way I move. Lord. So the point being is there's a weight of conscientiousness that's been lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you talk about a person who's an instinctive player.
Here's my question for the panel. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my question for the panel. Now,
all right,
that story, I just talked to, Pat not long ago, and unfortunately, a lot of our stores in the inner city maybe do a five-block radius or whatever. The problem is, if they shut that store down, which it still is, then a lot of people who are in walking distance or bus distance are going to be crippled. Would y'all open the store up, or would you move somewhere else?
No open store.
Reggie, that's why it's an act of war. You know, I know East Buffalo needs a grocery store. I know there's some of us in North Philadelphia that need a grocery store. You know, there are a lot of places where goods and services lie at the heart of the major of malaise in the community because they don't have it. You know, I understand that that's why somebody went on their way to, as Reggie was, as Patrick was saying, not necessarily deal with Manchurian Candidate, but the movie Salt, where you had trained a group of people to do specific things and turn them loose on society once they're a certain age. It's still MK Ultra because they are malaffected by all this mentally, and they go about their business picking their targets. Nobody's looking at a pattern and saying, well, you know, it was Buffalo last week. It's Uvalde, Texas this week, so that means Bloomington, Minnesota the next week. They have no pattern. They have no pattern because they're not looking for a pattern.
No, I mean, there's a way to do that. I mean, what's that Tom Cruise movie where he could do those, like, pre-crime? Some movie he caught.
Yeah.
What was it? Yeah, Minority Report. I mean, they have these places, you know, here in SAC, I know, where they can do a ballistics report and they can go to where the gunfire was left off, right? They can, cameras are everywhere. They can look at gunpowder muzzles. They can freeze frame. It's a holographic world. So they have the way to intuitively know these things. But what happens a lot of times, too, if you put, you know, a match in the hand of a baby and expect him to do the right thing with the match, you know, the odds are unlikely it's going to turn out good, a lit match. It's similar to with certain levels of weaponry, right? If this person is just totally devoid of any life force and he's an open vessel, then, yeah, you can communicate him in way too many ways. You can communicate video games, you know, through these high-frequency televisions, the pixelization screens can do triggers. There's all kinds of things about, you know, the manipulation of the brain. They have people literally running into some bullshit called the metaverse, which is fake, and it's, you know, investing in something that's not even a real world, virtual reality. So the lines are skewed. The lines are skewed, and so people who have not, again, it's simple terminology, built up their psychic self-defense, they're wide open for these things. This digital music is laced. You can put anything in that because it's lost analog capacity. It's all types of things that are manifest. These people have satellite dishes on their house that they call dish TV. Those can be transmitted.
I'm gonna give you a perfect example.
I mean, it's relentless.
I'm going to give you a perfect example of what's going on. And guess what? Ever gets out your way. We did three news stories in show. We have an award-winning news show and we have six winners in the Jersey School District that are esports winners. They're all going to California in 2 weeks.
Right.
Six of them, right? Guess who's one of the sponsors under another name of that esports piece? NASA.
Go ahead. And, yeah, of course.
Now, like you said,
I mean, the thing is, I mean, in other words, it's always been a culling process to find that top 1% anyway. Now these motherfuckers are willingly doing DNA tests and shit. I mean, Jesus.
And they have no idea what you're doing with that DNA test.
Yeah. So you know that these DNA tests, I mean, 98% of these people that want to find out where they from the tribe of fucking Togo and listen from that gate scoop on PBS television. Patrick.
Yeah.
We got your results. You're 47% Shannon Ivan. And motherfuckers sitting over there across the other like breaking down in the boohoo and shit. You believe that bullshit?
Hey, Patrick,
98% of those DNA tests go to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he just giving law enforcement, you know, your DNA. Now, if your DNA is changing, which can happen in this high frequency energy level, and it looks like you may be going mutant level. Oh, you think these movements are fictitious bullshit? Okay, and then they can do the testing there, and they can prescribe. Hey, man, we got to push out for these motherfuckers. You know, that, there's a whole school system over there.
Young
Patrick, people are going to come online in 5 years.
Hey, speaking of DNA factor,
we're
about Dwayne
Haskins,
man. When I heard the news
about
that, man,
yeah,
it really hurt.
Yeah, I spoke to his aunt, and she told me that they're still dealing some things. I don't want to get too much of it because she just came back to work about 2 weeks ago, and I didn't really jump on it. I didn't really want to get into it, but I had to go past her office and talk to her. She said she's dealt with some things. They had sensed some stuff was going on. But I will tell you this much. They are not happy by the fact that, and it's obvious, that you marry a woman and she don't meet the family.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, it's really unfortunate that, you know, allegedly the alcohol limit in Miami's 0.08, his blood was 0.24. And there was another lady in the vehicle with him. Was not his, you know, wife per se.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually talking to his wife before he streams into traffic. Now, knowing boots on the ground in Florida, I out of respect for people here, you know, who shared any certain things, because you know, obviously, whoever's driving the truck knows people, and whoever the second car that hit the vehicle knows people too that tried to swerve because he got hit twice. Right, first vehicle, then the second car tried to swerve, but made contact as well. But, you know, the eyewitness accounts of what took place prior to, you know, they are, right? But the thing being is, it's unfortunate in so many cases, you know, what's happened to the young man, this, that, and the other. But, again, you know, when you're under center, you know, and they have that helmet, right, that they can talk to all the time, communicate to people.
And then also
that eye in the sky, you know.
This was not part of his personality 3 years ago. Something
exactly
around the wrong.
Yeah,
people.
Exactly. You know, Florida, and you know, then allegedly he got in a scrap with a friend or a cousin the night before at a club. You know, not early hours of the night. So there's a lot of different things that you know running into certain things like that. But you know, again, man, we got to defend the pricker. We can't make ourselves vulnerable to so many things, because there's a lot of things happening within us and without us that people are very much aware of. So the language I speak tonight, those who know what I speak to be, you know, as factology. Those who can't get, sorry, it ain't for you.
Yeah, there's some people out there.
They know
what's
happening.
What's the latest with Deshaun Watson? I mean, everybody right now holding their breath. What's the latest with that factor?
Well, I didn't see the real sports people last night that they were doing on them, but they had some of the women on there talking. I gotta look at that, see what that's about. But we'll see. I can't speculate right now. I've heard some things, but I want to see what I do know this. The Browns are pretty confident. From somebody I know with the organization, they're pretty confident. And I'll leave it at that. We'll see.
Well, I got a question for you, Reggie. How they've been doing?
Yes, sir. Well, for him to come to Deion Sanders out of his mouth, that tells me that a god down there in Alabama, Roll Tide, is about ready to get his ass in trouble. You don't run your mouth like that. Look, Alabama Stadium cost $1.9 billion when they remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M Stadium, $365 million remodeled. Little Jackson State, $125 million. And like Deion said, I don't even make a fucking $1 million.
It's just another day at the store, because here's the question that needs to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you worrying about Jackson State unless you're gonna play them?
You don't even play Alabama State or
Alabama A&M, so why is Jackson State coming out of your mouth? But see, again,
and he's a man of power. And did he cut a commercial with Deion for some Affleck stuff, too?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
made money
yeah,
with Deion. I mean, Deion's broken, now Deion's trying to do his thing.
But he's talking about
some million-dollar NIL contract.
But
Andrew's response was perfect because it's kind of what we talked about out here. And that was the fact that is damaging to a program to have some player come in with a $1 million deal that even the coaches don't make and try to balance your program and show equilibrium and coach everybody the same. It's a very destructive factor. And no one's doing that NIL anyway. So now, you know, you guys did both talk about antitrust
NIL
laws with this NIL shit.
Oh,
so
they're doing that
on regulations.
Here they come.
No, NIL. NIL signals the end of hypocrisy in sports. NIL signals pay equity. You know, NIL signals a lot of things. But the long and short of it is, Nick Saban is like, now I think the over on how dare you, Reggie, would be 15. How dare you say these niggas ain't going to get no money? How dare you say you're not going to pay these niggas?
This is the movie Hoodlum playing out in a sense because now we got nigger pennies. Well, no, those nigga pennies are turning into nigga dollars, and now all of a sudden, Dutch Schultz, Dutch Saban, now he wants his peace, because at the end of the day, Deion Sanders,
I never liked your ass no way, Deion.
Come on, here's the thing you gotta understand.
A master is always gonna, you know, look after his best interest when he's dealing with his slaves. That's no different than what's going on here. Absolutely no different
exactly
going on here because, again, the question that needs to be asked. But look, the pissing parade between Jimbo and Saban. They've been doing that for years. But see, the fact that Jackson State and Deion comes out of his mouth just shows you that, you know, that they still look at these kids in with a slave mentality. Because the thing is, he's not even trying to play Alabama A&M or Alabama State. So why in the hell would a Jackson State come out of your mouth? Go ahead, Tony.
Janet Jackson wrote a song about it. It's called Control.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
With an assist from the Last Poets, with the white man having a God complex.
Mm-hmm. At the church how? I'm telling you, man.
And to bring it all into one full circle, that's the same mentality you have with these folks with these guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same mentality, and I defy anyone to tell me different.
And the trick about it, as I told you guys a couple of weeks, where was Nick Saban at? I told you a couple of weeks what was going on. Nick Saban was in front of them dudes that he was trying to convince to put that money down because Alabama is far behind Texas A&M, it's far behind Miami University, Ohio State's far behind Notre Dame is far behind USC.
And so on,
that's
and so
where
on,
he's going,
and so
guys.
On, and
it
so on,
just
and
like
so on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how
there's
it is.
There's an old line from an old Tank McNamara cartoon back in the day where you had this, you know, fictional Southeastern Conference coach doing something where they were talking about scholarships. And the guy from, I guess, the soccer team or the cross team or whatever, why does he get 25 more scholarships? He already has X amount of scholarships. And he said, son, you don't
Thank
understand.
You.
You see a bunch of players going to, you see a bunch of kids playing here, but I see a bunch of players that ain't playing for me. Because, see, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He don't give a damn about Mr. Hunter. But
he wants to be able to
control what Hunter does. So the fact that Hunter dared to go to Jackson State and can influence others. Because, see, here's the thing. This is the mentality you have to remember. The worst thing a slave can do is read and learn. They don't want these kids. They want to keep these kids ignorant. And let them know that the world's sun and rising in the Power Five.
Mm-hmm.
But see, once they realize that
two words, Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah.
Marcus Lattimore played running back for South Carolina State.
South Carolina.
He worked his ass off for 4 years. Now, just as we saw the running back position get devalued, Marcus Lattimore got beat out to the white meat. By the time he was available for the draft, he was worth nothing. Can't even get a sniff. Not even a taxi squad job. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What this represents, this NIL, is where they can't pull that crap anymore. Marcus Lattimore comes in as a freshman now. He's paid off the top, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. Whatever the market allows.
It's still not a pro contract. The challenge with that, right, is not every if you have 75 scholarship athletes on your football team, maybe 10 have an NIL, and those are the ones who are playing.
Exactly.
Because they have the highest bandwidth.
Exactly.
A redshirt freshman doesn't really have that, per se, without
the
cachet.
You're right. But
it's not 100% payout, so not everyone's getting the love. There are those who just get the great majority, like an NBA contract. You know, there's very few getting that supermax deal. Same thing in college with more athletes. No one, not everyone's getting a supermax deal.
Okay,
they're getting a deal, right? But it's not going to be longevity. They can't live off it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's like stipend right here, right now.
And they're not supposed to.
Here's a trick. Miami's looking to change that everybody gets paid. That's what they're trying to do.
Right.
And on top of that, last week there was a meeting amongst the NCAA executives contacting their lobbyists to go to D.C. to try to set the tone of what needs to be changed. Do you know what the folks in D.C. told them? You'll create it. You'll figure it out.
Exactly.
They gave them
holy
shit.
That's federal, right? You have your federal level, then you have your state regulations. Then you have your state regulations. So the thing that Saban was doing was having, you know, the alumni, you know, come up with a game plan to pool money together, come to up his ante on who he can bring in. Right.
Sure.
So in other words, it's what's been happening for many years, you know, officially off the books in that capacity, right? So there's a trade off there.
Eric, this is straight up incestuous. Southern Methodist University decides to break it to big time. So they ask the sponsors, they ask the boosters, put some money behind your action. All of a sudden, Southern Methodist becomes a top ranked team. Everybody's mad because now the recruits that used to go to Texas and Texas A&M ain't going there because Southern Methodist is offering more money, more whatevers. And next thing you know, they get the death penalty. Now,
Michael, is Alabama
players taking the pay cut when they come to the pros? That's right. That's exactly what I mean. Now, all of a sudden, ESPN, who's pimping off the NFL and in bed with them, they create Pony Excess, the story of it all. They make money off of this shit. And the next thing you know, SMU reduced big time, tried to build their program up again for nothing. Now NIL comes into play. They can go right back to where they started, but it cost them X millions, not the X, but X million dollars to get back to where they started.
Where is Eric Dickerson? Is Eric Dickerson around this?
They're using his car. I'll just leave it at that.
And let me tell you the backstory of that. The backstory of what Jimbo Fisher did last week on the Saban. If you don't think what I was told, if you don't think that he raised more than $20 million from that get back with Texas A&M against Saban, you're living in la-la land.
Come on.
Put it this way. I hope they kill. You know what? If there's ever a game where I hope the two coaches die of massive heart attacks right at the 50-yard line, it'll be fine with me.
Fuck yeah. And Tony, that's because...
What's up the other one?
That's because of all the way from Texas. That got that Texas A&M money, want to get back at Alabama and formulate their powerhouse to where they want, because they know they got money.
Absolutely.
Alabama ain't got.
That's exactly right. This is end of the day, the Saban Fisher thing is basically my dick is bigger than your dick, in a sense.
Thank you.
The greatest beneficiary to that is Jackson State and Deion Sanders, because when Jordan, the first Jordan brand sneaker came out, they were banned by the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It was
yep.
a color scheme, right? Because it wasn't uniform at the time. Now we see every color known to mm-hmm. man on people's feet.
I was
these days. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And because the NBA took away the uniformity where we wouldn't have to wear the same color shoes, about 2 years
mm-hmm.
ago, 3 years ago, what happened. So that's why you see cats
mm-hmm.
with a blue uniform.
And not to mention the third jerseys and everything else as
well.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. the NBA marketing. So the sneakers, so the shoe deals are typically the players. That's
yep.
outside the NBA bandwidth, because the NBA's not. They just give up the socks. You got to wear those NBA branded socks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of their or NBA branded headband. Other than that, your shoe gear is all you.
You know what?
Who makes sure the guys' uniform in the NBA? Who's the fashion committee?
I mean, it's like Nike does the uniform, and that's when they get chintzy.
Mm-hmm.
They start, the players will complain about the uniforms. So each year they can cycle the contract. Sometimes Adidas may be part of the uniform cycle as well. But the thing about it is that Sanders is the greatest winner, because they just woke him up. There's recruits who never thought of him before to put him on the on the radar, right? And so now he's in a position
where he looks like this rad guy,
anti-big systemic mm-hmm. thing that's causing them to, fill the footsteps, and that's a great recruiting mechanism, too. And like you said about Saban, he said, hey, listen, the guy – makes comments about me in public, but he apologizes privately. So,
and hopefully there'll be a trickle down for the other teams in the SWAC as well, which I think it will be.
Absolutely.
I see where
Shaquille O'Neal, two of his children, that were top recruits there at Texas Southern.
There you
go. Let me ask Gary this question. Gary, you out there, UC Berkeley. Now, have you seen an Aaron Rodgers jersey from his old Cal Berkeley days available on the market?
No.
I did, right?
Okay. Can you imagine what an Aaron Rodgers jersey would do if it did the same thing as Chris Webber's Michigan jersey? If it was worth that much?
No.
That's
Michigan
my point.
No.
Or Reggie Bush's Southern Cal jersey. If they itemize just how much money, Reggie Bush's jersey or O.J. Simpson's jersey meant in terms of dollars and cents to the University of Southern California, this bullshit would stop right now.
Well, see, the jerseys off limits. because it's university branded, right? They can issue uniforms into their blue in the face. It's the likeness.
Right.
If they have that number associated with a face and sell like a, you know, a game, one of these games that they have out there, you know, video games as well as a poster, that's a likeness thing. But the jerseys, they can pump them things ad nauseum because it's a university-issued item that they purchase.
Yes.
But the likeness of that person in that jersey changes the game.
They do it all the time. For instance, if you go to Ohio State games,
the Bulls can sell the Jordan jersey ad nauseum. The NBA and the Bulls in the get that cut.
They get that merch.
Now the players in the collective bargain agreement have negotiated to get a cut of the merch.
Oh
which
yes,
is good. But they ain't getting the Bulls cut like the league.
It's now, when I was in the league, it was about $80,000. Now it's over $125,000.
The merch money is good, especially if you got doctored in as a retired player, right? Got grandfathered in to the old deals.
Yes.
I mean, you be sitting home, ain't picked up a ball in 15 years, and here comes your quarterly check for the merch.
Somewhere Earl Carrington is eating an extra chicken wing because of his jersey being sold somewhere in Jersey.
Joe Barry Carroll and Sam Bowie can't wait to, you know, restore their wine racks.
Do you know something else? The 10 years behind Major League Baseball League is doing that now with the alternative jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's all merch for the league, though. See, that's merch. I mean, they can put as many Garnetts or Reggie Millers or whomever's on the back of that jersey. That's league merch. That's franchise merch. That's licensed, right? The players, you know, they wore those jerseys and numbers. They get a cut of the overall merch.
Although I have heard from a source that if you do buy a Hawthorne Wingo jersey, you have to personally pay Hawthorne Wingo for that. So.
Wingo. I like that reference. When we talk about Hawthorne, rest in power.
Yes. Oh, man.
So the license game is about to get viral. They're about to legislate states to stay. We're funny what them southeastern states try to do with that particular component, man. Because right now it's like it's wild, wild west. This is like
wild,
everything
wild
else is like getting while they're getting good, which is now. But man, it's about to tighten up and shit.
And three states last year at this time said they weren't going to do it. And now they're doing it. Tennessee got changed, all right?
Alabama changed.
I mean, it's the revenue you bring in, right? I mean, the revenue money you bring into the state by doing these things and having successful programs generates enormous revenue for everybody involved, which, again, the players, they get their sliver, but the big winners are the system.
Patrick, of course, that's in the book of Exodus under Exodus 3:16 where it says if it does make dollars, then it damn sure makes sense.
And it says ching.
There you go.
I thought the phrase was render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and then let's get the fuck out of here. But I digress.
Thank God, isn't it nice that Caesar's been reincarnated as JB Smooth? I thought that was very good.
Mike, I want to throw something out. Basketball wise, all right. I got in a discussion with one of my engineers today, and I had to explain
this
to you guys. I'm gonna throw it to you guys. We all consider Luka one of the top 10 players in the league, but I had to tell him, don't make him a superstar to the extent yet. Because anytime you shoot one quarter, 27 shots in one half, next seven, there's an issue. Right.
You got that right.
At the end of the day, hey, look, at the end of the day, the only difference between Luka Doncic and James Harden is two Kardashians and a lot of hair.
I mean, the NBA again. You know, if utilized in their system or style of play, like you know the Mavericks use Doncic, you're going to get numbers, right?
Yeah,
and you're going to get opportunities, and there's nothing like giving a player, you know, just tremendous confidence, right? Knowing that when you hit the floor, it's all in your favor, right? We're going to run through you, but at the same time, someone like Mitchell Wiggins, you know, who was an overall number one pick, in his spirit, he feels he's a better player than Doncic, right? He doesn't see himself as a lesser player, right?
Exactly.
He sees himself as better. And so even though the hype is there, you know, I mean, Wiggins is not going to go after. They were talking about Draymond Green was going to do the match. And nah, go, you know, stick Mitchell on him. That's all you need. And the whole point of the matter is we've seen that when it came down to an athletic play and Wiggins, you know, just, you know, ganked one on him, you know, and Doncic tried to play
Eric,
it over the offensive guard. Just that level, the best ball players are still in the United States. The unfortunate thing is that the way the game style has changed under the Stern regime with the three-pointer being the weapon that no one uses better than the Warriors, right, is an effective weapon style, but that's their flavor of basketball. You know, they come out, you know, changing the whole style, shooting from distance.
Mm-hmm.
They come out saying, we hot already, and they just start to beat you down. But they have different aesthetics because, you know, that's the way that they gauge it. You know, they're top players that can literally light it up. And there's one thing watching that shit live, man. It's incredible to watch that shit display. They're sons of NBA players. So they've been in NBA arenas since they were young. So they've been able to measure these large arenas, which the depth perception, the different lighting where people struggle, so at a very, very early age.
That is a difference.
So they have, if other teams try to match and trade with them, they just do not have the eye acuity that these players have. Very advanced eye acuity. They miss that in the scouting report.
You made a great point in discussing style. And if I can recall, the one time where style really made a difference was when the Sixers, after that 9-73 season, picked up Doug Collins as their first round draft player. He came off the U.S. team, and then they also picked up a player named Raymond Lewis, who was a gunslinger from California, who was a serious flaw. They played against each other one-on-one, apparently in camp, and Lewis dusted Collins. He put like 51 on him. Then went in the front office and said, what y'all gonna do? I just took care of your boy. Now y'all got to take care of me. And somehow he got spirited out the league. All because he was better. Now, I'm not saying he was better overall, but on that day,
it's system.
He was so
exactly. You're correct.
Somebody had to say something. Exactly.
Well, you know, and you're correct. And you see that, I mean, years ago, you know, Dale Ellis was rotting on the bench with the Dallas Mavericks, right?
He
couldn't get any run. Nick Mata's system, you know, which was, you know, damn, you're talking about setting the hoop back, him and Bill Fitch and shit, right? Was really rigid. You know what I'm saying? Really rigid,
it was.
Right?
He told what I was going to do next, and he did.
Right. Then he went to Seattle, and he became an all-star, right? You know,
yes,
for many years, he was one of the top shooters in the league.
Yes, he
was. Because
it was
just a change in system. The NBA, I mean, you can get hit in systems, man. You know, there's ways that you can stat stuff and do certain things. But Doncic, you know, would not fit in with the Warriors' style of system, where they flow, the way they play, the way they spread the floor, because he's ball dominant, right?
Plus,
he's very ball dominant.
So they used the
same thing they did with Nowitzki, right? Because Nowitzki was able to put up some really good numbers. But they were, you know, in fairness, though, you know, from the basketball standpoint, because, you know, we like to keep it 100. Yeah, do you have skills? Yes. Can we see that?
Yes.
You're able to make plays and you have some game? Yes. But, you know, the problem with that is, and the problem with the NBA hierarchy and what they've been never been able to find, they've just never been able to find an American-born player that can achieve the status of Larry Bird. So they had to go overseas.
That's true.
And none
That's
of these
true.
Guys are as good as Bird. None of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. The system, I mean, before my memories, I was in the pitch with Fish. I just got there. Man.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I went to a Dick Minor practice when he was at the Kings. I was like, damn. I'm like, did someone just give me some Dominex? I mean, why am I nodding in here?
Yeah, you're exactly right, man. You're exactly right.
Putting basketball back so far that Barney Rubble's the leading scorer in the league.
Please. I thought about it a week ago when last time I kind of was around. And, you know, our subject matters range and they flow like a jazz band, which is good. But Ime Udoka is one hell of a coach. And he needs to get more props. He's doing a phenomenal job with the Celtics, man.
Yes.
How he's coaching the man.
How
he's putting that drive together. He's outstanding.
Even a hardcore Boston hating Knicks fan can see that.
I'm with
right,
you.
Right.
I'm with you. But he get his brother credit. And also goes to show we don't need any more recycled mediocre coaches 3-4 times either.
Now, Patrick, now if we could just get them off the damn announcer's booth, then we really be doing well.
Oh, don't say that because you know they put a trick back on, don't you, on Mark. Oh, man, they put something on there.
Now, Mark's an interesting story, man. For full disclosure, I've known him since he was 18 when he was a senior at Bishop O'Loughlin High School. Right.
Okay.
And before he went to St. John's, right? And you know, there's nothing superlative to say about Mark. You know, I mean, I was at the draft when he was the 18th pick with the Knicks, right? You know, literally at the Felt Forum. Remember that shit? It was at the Felt Forum.
Oh, yep.
You know, we got these drafts at these big places and this, that, and the other.
This was the Jamin Robinson draft.
This was the year Robinson went number one. I think Pippen went that year. Right? I think, you know, and so with Mark, you know, the thing with, you know, I mean, when Mark was, you know, coaching the Warriors, there were some situations there which were interesting, you know, but he did set them up for the success, right? And Kerr just ran the ball after Mark put it all in place, in fairness. At the same token, the time where they're putting, like you said, where they're putting the trick bag on Mark is that now he's not LGBT friendly, right? So that's why he took him out there running with the
team.
That's
what it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason.
That's why he's getting the freeze out.
That's one of the reasons. Another reason is there's a videotape out there because he's a preacher. You know, he married the sister who's a gospel singer.
Desiree Coleman.
Matter of fact, it's so wild. Remember, Mike probably remembers the team. Remember the club Bentley's in New York?
I remember using the bathroom at that place.
Mark had his welcome to the NBA party there at Bentley's, right?
Come on.
That's when he was drafted, right? He had a welcome to the NBA party at Bentley's, right? And I remember, you know, he pulled up in this Benz. Now, he hadn't signed his contract yet, right? But, you know, how the agents would sponsor you. And so Mark's been on the subway all these years. Now he's got this big Benz, right, first draft pick. And his brother was Hurricane, the big heavy dude that played
on
the N1 tour.
Yes, he was.
That's right.
Remember that? That's Mark's brother. And he used to be a ball boy for the Knicks. And Mark was really slick because when he was a rookie playing for Patino, his brother was a ball boy for the Knicks. So he'd send his ball boys to put towels on the other team so he can get the scoop later.
They bring all kind of stuff on them.
But all that being said, he went on to have a career where he's a top, what, 5 assist man all time.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Outstanding announcer. And trying to get back in the game, man, but he's being shut out.
Yes.
He's being blackballed.
He's being blackballed.
That's
being shut out.
Anytime they were doing the same thing. They were doing the same thing with Timmy Hardaway until they finally let up on him, and now he's in the Hall of Fame because he went through that same.
I mean, Kareem's got a better job being a fourth assistant than Mark does as a head coach.
Yeah,
absolutely. Kareem can't get a whiff. Mm-hmm. Well, he's done with it now, but at one time he wanted a whiff.
Oh yeah, there's a better chance of Pete Rose becoming the Reds manager again before Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
No
But you
know, that is a question. How come a man who creates the ultimate offensive weapon can't get a sniff of a head coach and not even have an opportunity to teach somebody the shot, let alone have instruction videos for it?
Mike, one of the reasons that I got from being in the league when I was there, I got it from Willis Reed. The same as Willis Reed was the coach. The old aspect that big men can't coach, that's one of the things that they had to get away from. And Willis Reed talked about that, and he said that a lot of that had to do with Kareem, and because of Kareem's intelligence, might get in the way of communication. I said, wait a minute. Willis, he said, Patrick, I'm telling you what I know. So it was said it has to be really relevant to me.
No, I mean, you are correct. I mean, in other words, when you think of, like, you know, tall players as a head coach, I mean, Mikhail once had a taste. Bill Cartwright, right, once had a taste. You know, Big John Thompson diluted that, right? So Big John at Georgetown was there. But then again, the one thing that's always buried, which amazes me, you know, because when we talk these things, Bill Russell won two championships as a player, fucking coach.
And last, Patrick, he was not a point guard.
No, true.
He had no assistants.
True.
Now,
right.
I don't care how great the player is, or whomever that player may have been, he never coached a team. No, they can say LeBron's the secret GM for the, you know, that's bullshit. He ain't the GM. He's not cutting deals. He's not looking at tape. You know, he can make a basketball thought. He is not the GM. He's not doing all that nitty-gritty work. You know how it is, Patrick. GM work, scout work, man, that's a lot of work. You just can't roll out there and just GM and then coach a team. Russell was a player coach and won championships. There's no player in a team sport that can claim such a shit.
Although I will say this, I'm as a pseudo GM than Phil Jackson ever did as a GM in New York. But I'm
oh,
not
Phil
bad.
Jackson, wow, so horrible.
I'm
not
bad.
Oh, horrible.
He
was ripping the Knicks off. But see, you know what's interesting? This is where the NBA bends the rules, right? Because allegedly, can't have no nepotism, right, and be in this management position. I mean, Phil is sleeping with Jeannie Buss, owner of the Lakers, while he's the GM of the Lakers. Where's his loyalty?
I got four letters, Eric.
That's right.
Hey Mike, real quick, the guy with the blue, the Muslim hockey player, y'all know Jeff Threat, what's going on with that?
Well, the bottom line is the brother's going to be all right. They can't help it. I always talk about the resentment that's felt from those folks in most sports. This resentment in hockey is new, but it's long overdue because the brothers were not supposed to show out like this. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now you've got more hockey players in hockey, more black hockey players in hockey than in baseball, right, Jackie Robinson? Fucking Gus Johnson is stupid ass. But the long and short of it is, it's not going to go away. Now hockey will have to adjust and come to grips with the fact that, given what's happening now, there may be one or two more black players on Lord Stanley's Cup. And they don't mind that. They just don't want to be reminded of that. See,
that's a good point.
We do everything.
Mike, are you talking about Uganda ding-ding, Kane, ding-ding?
Evander Kane, baby. Evander Kane.
Did you say Jackie Robinson, did you say Donaldson? Yeah. Oh, did you say the Yankees?
Yes.
Donaldson and Jackie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Tony, one of the guys I told you, my papers, but I'm known to high school baseball. He's a baseball fanatic. Somebody says to me, Patrick, what's the big deal about saying Jackie Robinson? I said, you know what the big deal is? You've known me since we were high school, right? You know what to say to me and know what not to say. Yeah, I said, some folks don't know that.
In other words, if he rode up on you and said, what's up, Jackie, you know, we're going to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was raised by a woman who told me never let anyone call you outside your name.
If it happens, put the church amen again.
There you go.
Because if you say Jackie, you may be saying jockey, like lawn jockey. We're going to play with phonetics.
That's right. Listen, they know what time it is.
They be talking slick, man.
They can't handle it because it's happening in every sport. From Lewis Hamilton and auto racing to the sisters in the pool to the
mm-hmm.
brothers on the ice.
So the tennis
court,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got this. Nothing has changed except for the fact that the resentment grows even harder. A white pro hockey player can tell you how hard it is to score 20 goals. Evander Kane scored 27 goals in the regular season in 3 months. That makes him a 50-goal scorer in the full season.
Wait.
That makes him a Drummond. That
Michael,
makes him a Drummond.
That's right.
But see, with everything being tossed around like it is, you know, hockey, this is the white man's sport, et cetera, et cetera. Well, thank you, George and Darryl Fossey, who put information about how well the brothers do up there. The brothers are handling their business. And they're just going to have to get used to it.
Brothers going to work it out.
They're going to have to get used to the
mm-hmm.
fact that Evander Kane can play. Darnell Nurse can play.
Right.
You know, Mr. Shillington can play. We got brothers all over the place doing it too. And nothing will change with that. All we will do is prove what Tony has always said. Brothers have imitated and innovated at the same time. And in hockey, they're being innovative as we speak right now. So just enjoy the show. Just enjoy the fact that our black athletes
mm-hmm.
do what they do. And now a whole generation of people will be pointing to the TV and saying, look, there's a black hockey player on screen. And they'll say, oh, we got to see this. They won't see it in Canada
mm-hmm.
because it's part of the culture, but they'll see it here because it's part of our culture. It's just proof that we do what we do as best as we can do, and nobody can do nothing about it except get mad about it.
Hold on. Somewhere Charlie Strong is ordering another cup of black coffee.
Sylvester Cruz is right behind him.
That ticked me off last week. Even though it was supposed to be a positive for the NFL, we're gonna play and hold this for the diversity summit. I'm going, have we did that before? I said, let me ask this question: did Joe Judge need to have a diversity one? Joe Judge? If you be a head coach, give me a break. You know who you want and who you don't want.
That guy was terrible.
That's right.
Hey, Pastor, speaking of class, when is Daniel Snyder going to get voted out?
As a possibility. There's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, newsflash, y'all. Are you ready for this?
I think I'm
the judge today.
Are you going to Vegas? You going to Vegas?
No, yeah. Gruden,
it's John Gruden. John Gruden's lawsuit's alive. It's alive and well.
That's right. The NFL denied the motion. The NFL denied the motion. I mean, the judge denied the NFL the motion.
The judge says all systems go. And a guy like Gruden. A guy like Gruden is all in, man. He wants to grind as far as he can with this one. He's not taking no side.
Cases on everybody. I'm talking.
Yeah.
I'm cases. Don't nobody know nothing. Don't nobody know nothing.
Exactly.
Wait.
Nino Brown.
Look like
at this
point in time.
Right this now. Thing is bigger than the NFL. This thing is bigger.
Wait. Your memory, when you had a little cousin or a cousin or a little niece said, when she, a little girl said, I'm telling.
Like Bernie Mac in the King of Comedy. He's jumping up and down.
Well, you know, to quote Bernie Mac in another way, it's about to smell like Badesi.
It's gonna be some furniture moving. There's some furniture moving right here. Furniture moving.
But what's going on in here? It's starting to smell like Badesi.
If I can expand on Evander Kane just a little bit more. Now, see, they gave more kinds of hell when it was revealed that he had gambled. And some white girl lost her damn mind, trying to put his shit all out on Front Street.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Looked really bad for the brother for a while.
Out of pocket,
he got suspended,
out of pocket.
But homeboy scored 27 goals in 3 months, and all of a sudden, all is well. Now, last night, he helped the Edmonton Oilers to go 3-1 up on the Calgary Flames. If they go to the next round, if they get to the Stanley Cup round, if they win, all is forgiven. If Vandy gets a new contract, you know, it's happening ever
Lewis.
After.
Michael Lewis.
Yes,
sir. San Jose Sharks.
Yep.
Release Vandy Kane.
That was his former team. That's right.
Gave him the money and said goodbye. A good rest.
That's right. Remind everybody that if you tend to your business will take care of you. If you don't tend to your business will take care of you.
So, there's a friend working there.
Jim, as we come to final thoughts, you know, I have to roll back and have everybody understand that we are under a state of war. You know, it's not enough for us to be minding our own fucking business. Someone wants to mind our business for us. It's not enough to assume that it's not enough that we can just assume that everything's going to be okay and it'll work itself out, because we're always told that the good guys win and evil gets, you know, upended in the end. We know that's not true, too. So we have to literally keep our spirits on swivel. You know, I bring that up because wherever we are, East Coast, West Coast, North, South, it doesn't matter. Light skin, dark skin, we are all up against the same thing. What's going to happen when that moment hits? What are we going to do? And don't think they're not thinking about that, because that moment in Buffalo, that moment in Uvalde, Texas, that moment in Detroit, that moment back in the 60s in Asbury Park, New Jersey, when my relatives had to deal with shit, all this stuff does not change. And we have to realize that we either grow with it and deal with it, or let it become a situation where we're lost in space because somebody wants to co-opt us. Black people being co-opted is nothing new. Hell, they've been doing that shit for generations. What we want to make sure is that, as corny as it sounds, that we matter. Not to the society at large, but to the people that matter to us, our loved ones, our kids,
that's true,
our friends, our family. That's what matters. Fuck all that other proselytizing and shit. That's what matters to this black folk. I can't speak for anybody else, but I speak for me on that.
Speak for all of us on that. You do.
I mean, being tribal by heritage and being tribal in nature is when there was a time where you would meet somebody, what's up, brother? What's up, blood?
Yeah.
All that mattered was the uniformity and pigment and energy. And it had nothing to do with pigmentation. You know, it has nothing to do with where you're at, where your heart's at, you know, where you are, what you stand on. And anyone who's ready to kind of like stand up with them and be able to recognize that the force they have within it, collective consciousness is power. All you have to do is have a unifying consciousness. There's nothing more powerful than the idea that's about to come to fruition. So just by dialoguing along these lines and collecting and connecting with like minds creates an energetic field in this holographic world. And that's the power.
Yes, and more.
But no one has to be.
And even just before.
You can move in stealth. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to move, you know, all publicly and
that's
shit.
Right.
Just by the collective power of your mind power. That's what's going to last. That's what has the longevity.
Yep.
It's your deeds that last.
That's right.
Not the shit you popped off.
It's
you know,
amazing.
What were your deeds?
It's amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
When you, yes,
you know, what did you stand on?
Respect.
What
yes.
did you stand
you
on? You know what I'm
respect.
Saying? Were you that person of light? You know, we always talk about this from time to time. The brothers who set a great example, they didn't die rich. King family didn't
nope.
die rich. Brother Shabazz didn't die rich. But their legacy
they
is just
sure
ongoing. It's not a martyrdom
that's
thing.
Right.
It's what the actions of their works are. And that's what
that's
counts.
Right.
So when people sit around here and talk some money this, money that, I'm like, yo, what's your deeds?
Ooh.
What do you stand on that? What are you representing as far as that's concerned? Because that other shit is just pure fluff. You can end up in the ground, you know what I'm saying? A head of state ends up in the ground the same as Ned the Wino. That's
yep.
the route. The dad. So what did you stand for? What did you represent? You know, how did you stay? Were you able to cogently share that vision where it can empower people? Not just get into some aesthetic, pseudo, Negro, kumbaya, can we all just get along bygone era bullshit? No one wants to hear that shit.
That's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody
I mean, like, you know, or wax poetic or something that people get from a conspiracy magazine. What's the ethos?
Nope.
Can you move it with your words? Can you move with your form of conscientiousness? It's the power of the consciousness that connects with people. Doesn't matter that. People can hear it. They can know the rhythm and tones and the resonance. Right?
Yep.
It's a sound harmonic.
That's exactly
That's
right.
why a great singer moves mm-hmm. crowds. So if we move the same needle here in our discourse, I felt the need to rise up and share with the brothers to build, because I was listening to it a little bit prior to coming on. I figured I may not make it, but then I heard some dialogue and I just say, oh, I gotta check in. I just gotta share some viewpoints, because I felt there was a worthy message to be shared about. But what you espouse, Mike, is right. But at the same token, the time though, it's still the fact you have a forum and credibility that gets out there in the bandwidth of the nation. That's the true power. So all the other stuff where people need to track it and shit, that's on them. When you know, you know.
Yep. That's right.
That's the key. When you know, you know.
You know all that.
When
yeah,
you know, you
shame.
Know. Right? Exactly, Patrick.
You, know
you,
you
gotta
know.
Prove shit to anybody.
Come on.
For what?
Final thoughts across the board, Reggie. Set it off for us, please.
You know, it's amazing to me that a certain quarterback from Kentucky, now with the Cleveland Browns, had to be dragged through the mud for almost a year and some change. But yet, Stephen A. Smith, the mouth jockey that he is, likes to come in and for some reason attack a black athlete. And I can't wait till he gets his Christy Jim Rome moment. Because it's coming. A lot of these brothers are getting tired of it and they're not having it. But it was interesting that Joe Paterno's son was right there on the set and he was a little church mouth. Couldn't hear him say jack. But again, when it comes to the black athlete and his money, oh, by the way, he said Marvin Lewis should never coach again. That's kind of funny that they're a second coach in New England. Had a losing record with the Cleveland Browns, but he did pretty good giving a chance. Oh, by the way, a state defensive coordinator, Frazier, with the Buffalo Bills, was told to stand down the last minute of the game against Kansas City because the head coach wanted to take the ring. But he didn't mention that. But he said, let's pray she'll never have a head coaching job again. All I'm saying is sometimes the pigmentation serving that message very well is doing more damage to the community. Stephen A. Smith, yes, I recognize the HBCU, but I wonder what Coach Big House Gaines would say with the way that you're attacking some athletes right now. Just my opinion.
There you go. Boom, Reggie. Patrick?
Good talking to y'all tonight. I got on a little early, so that was good. I'm gonna hit you with a smack both upside your head. One, this is for my man G. You know, I guess you know that Kaepernick's gonna get a tryout with the Raiders within the next couple of days. And you should hear the haters that I've been looking at on Kaepernick, on how much they hate him, how much. And I put back on one thing I said, one of these clowns on Facebook, I said, let's see, did he break any laws? I know some folks who did with a flag that was in Congress. Is it equal to that? Shut up. So I hope Cap gets the opportunity and also represent Cap Apple Sidewell too. The other fact is this. HBCU is quarterbacks coming at because the Cleveland Browns picked up Felix Harper of Alcorn State. It's the first black quarterback that's signed a free agent contract in 15 years. I think it was that long. But signed a free agent contract. The Browns picked him up. I looked at some highlights of him. The brother looks good. I don't know what you're going to do, but maybe they can keep around like some of these other mayonnaise, weak butt quarterbacks. He can bring the tactic quad and gain some momentum and learn the system and be able to play somewhere. I'm wishing him well.
The mayonnaise supplemental league on last run. By the way.
No shit. Stay tuned on that.
Please. Yeah. I mean, wait. Matt Sims, please don't get me. I get him about 6'7". How do you play the NFL?
Lord have mercy.
Don't. Yeah. Blake Gilbert, please. And because he's a white boy, look good in his uniform. Stop. Yeah.
Throw in Matt McGuire too while you're at it.
Oh, please.
Oh my God.
Please.
Oh, you make me bark for me now.
Back, brother. Johnny Manziel,
mm-hmm.
please.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. I got visions of Wonder Bread running through my head. To our resident archivist, the professor. Professor, you up?
Yes, I are. I'm feeling bad, yeah. But I'm going to get through this quick. Is anybody besides me that has watched the USFL?
Yes.
And I keep recognizing these mean old white boys.
Yes, painfully I have. Painfully.
who ain't been winning, and now they're trying to win in USFL, and they still lose.
Jeff Fish ain't shit. We know that already, though.
You know, one of them things. Also, I know we've hashed the shootings and all that kind of stuff, but you know, we still got to tell our own story. And
yes, sir.
I had
yes.
I was trying to track this. My brother left Buffalo 40 years ago, and he's gone now, and I don't really remember a lot of his people. But you know, I was surprised that homeboy was able to not only canvass the place, then come back and shoot it up. Because once upon a time in that area, it was Wild Wild West down there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much has changed, and I know everybody gets old and mature and do things, try to do things the right way. But, you know, I was amazed because that was one of the neighborhoods people kind of took care of each other. And it sort of surprised me. And lastly, over the next 48 hours, I should be uploading the men's basketball book to printer. I got a few more pages to go back and correct for the last time. So if you find any more, if you find any more mistakes in there, they're yours. They're not mine. But you know, we've done our due diligence, and we'll be getting this on the road shortly. And it'll be followed by the one on women's basketball.
Hey, Fred, email me when that's live, okay?
Okay.
If you can. Yeah, please do, okay? All right. I'll send you an email so if you don't have my coordinates from the past, but let me know.
Okay, we'll do.
I'll be more than glad to pay full price, man. No discounts.
www.blackheritagereview.com books, T-shirts, bric-a-brac, knowledge. Any day is a good day for some black history. On the table, on the bed, in your hands, reading is fundamental. Eric, throw something in the pot, please.
Yeah, good discourse, you know what I mean? I think, we put to put to bed a topic, you know, that needs no rehashing, you know, because of sensitivity factors of people who, you know, transition involuntarily. And as a part of the society, community, and knowing that we're all interconnected, it's important that individuals, you know, who can connect through that platform energetically have that understanding that not everyone's sleeping at the wheel or just, you know, want to sit around and, pop tic-tac. So I'm glad you brought that, you know, subject matter up. So shifting back to things that have been an ongoing topic and subject matter. So late April, first week of May, there was a film festival in Baldwin Hills, California, right? So Baldwin Hills, for those who know, was considered the Black Beverly Hills for many years, right? That's where the black celebrities lived when they went to Los Angeles. And it's still predominantly black, even though, like everything else, gets gentrified and, you know, housing value. So, you know, it's a strong, powerful, ongoing, right? You're aware of it, Patrick, you know, community in Baldwin Hills.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Recently, you know, during Baldwin Hills, they had a film festival, and one of the films that was primarily displayed was a film called The Dream Whisperer, which is a documentary, 11 years in the making, that was put together by Brother Dick Barnett to talk about the 1958 teens from 1957, 58, 59. And it was called The Dream Whisperer. So 11 years has been in the making. So we're not going to stop no matter what, right? And it documents and chronicles those teams. So there was a whole swath of people, various generations, as well as a whole city and community, because both the LA Times Orange County registered power players in the media down there in Southern California ran articles about this, and it captured that realm, that time, that industry, that process that's taking place. You know, it was at Cannes, and it's been a number of film festivals. Extremely well done. And it was a learning that's called The Dream Whisperer. So here we are in 2022, and the legacy of what was laid down can't die. And it's still being rebroadcasted to a whole new group of people that I've shared many times. There's a situation here now where people know more about the exploits globally than they did when these people were alive. So there's going to continue to be out there, really strong story out there. And then there's also been other individuals like, you know, I know Sharpton, you know how he gets involved, wants to kind of push the agenda for the recognition level and all these things like that. So right now there's The Dream Whisperer, a whole documentary, highly produced, 11 years in the making on the stealth tip. Now it's out there live and entering many film festivals for rave reviews.
I know about it, man. I've known about it for a while. Yes, all I gotta say, that's something you should see. It's close.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Patrick.
I said that I've known about it for a little while. I know the festival. I know the Springy Bowling Festival, but I know all the people that I know around here know about it. And point blank, everybody needs to see it. Case closed.
Exactly. Well, it's out. You know, and it's extremely well done because the thing is, you know, and there's other works in place, you know, as well. There's other things coming online as well because, you know, my father was recently interviewed. There was a camera team that came to visit his place as well, you know, documenting his legacies and all these different things that are taking place as well. So, again, remember, you know, we don't really give a F if you ride with it or not. We don't stop. The game keeps going on, and the story will be told.
There you go.
And it's reaching all ethnicities, all groups globally, and this is something that you can't deny. And it just took today's era because of the greatness, even though it's been many years later, it's such a strong story because it had more to it than just the sports escapade because these cats, you know, had a legacy that everyone after them benefited from.
Excellent.
And that's the story of Dick Barnett and the story in and of itself.
Correct. Absolutely. It's just a lot there. So, yeah, The Dream Whisperer, rave reviews at the Baldwin Hills Film Festival, a lot of power. It's moving around to different film festivals. It's that exotic of a joint, right? You know, it's meant for a real aesthetic, intellectual crowd. Then it's going to go to a wider bandwidth, you know, over a course of time. But once that's documented, it becomes part of the historical record. And so that will continue to flow through various networks forever, ever. And that's the whole point of this. And so it doesn't matter what little group gets together.
I look forward to seeing this and being there. This is going to be a nice one. Big G.
Absolutely.
Gary, we got to give our brother Gary some credit. He has been on the case with the Popsicle Brothers action. Really great work with the hockey. Do we have to? Yeah, I think in this case we do. Yeah. My brother Gary has been heading the make line and doing nice work, putting out there. We love seeing the emergence of how we, again, do what we do as well as we can do it. So, Gary, some Negro Dominus love, and thank you for that. Please throw something in the pot.
There's a young lady, she's 33 years old, playing for the Chicago Sky. People are ignoring her for the past year because of a girl they had never done in Washington, D.C. But there's a little lady in Chicago named Candace. Candace Brunner. Candace Brunner did something that no one would have ever done in the WNBA. That is a triple-double. 16 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. Against guess who? That was done. And the money
Yep.
So I tip my hat to Candace Parker and Chicago Sky. For their great due diligence against the Washington Mystics. There we go. 1 o'clock on Saturday. Hope you'll be there.
Yes, indeed.
And Mike, might I add to that? I've interviewed Candace Parker twice in after game locker room. That child is fine as can be. I'll leave it at that.
I know she's fine. And you know, mm-hmm. Elena does dunk and ball, but Candace Parker is fine. Ooh,
yes, Lord.
I'm sorry. Did I hear Skylar Diggins? Did I hear someone say Skylar Diggins?
No.
But you know something?
Charles Barkley in line one for broadside. Charles Barkley in line one for broadside.
That child had no makeup on. I'm going, and skin was glowing. I'm going, wow.
Lord have mercy. You don't see yams like that anywhere but on a Thanksgiving table. Lord have mercy, that child.
This past week against the Washington, she was on the court, hit the three pointers and did a triple and had a triple double this double. Past week in the game against Washington.
Mm-hmm. She
could have tripled me in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Tony, we got to talk about putting together this thing with you, me, Candace, and Jill Scott. But, you know, that's another story for another time. It's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I feel the need to do this quick PSA that stalking is still illegal in the states of New York, New Jersey, California, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Sacramento, North Carolina, and Connecticut.
And overseas in Russia, too.
Just in case I have to answer the phone to be a character witness.
Is she ever going to leave Russia, man? Is she ever going to get out of Russia?
Sooner or later.
No.
Another 3 weeks. It's an old Flintstone line. She'll probably be leaving around Hogbrandon time,
She's going to get out sooner or later.
At some point. I'm gonna go a little nostalgic, just try to keep in with what we were talking about tonight here. A man much smarter than me, our late grand poobah, Roland Rogers, basically, and I stole it from him, but I always wanted it to be said, and it was mentioned tonight, and we're always reminded of it. The black athlete, whether it be male, female, or on Esther, is the most imitated and most innovative being in all of sports, whether it be high school, whether it be college, whether it be professional or what have you, whether it's that Tennessee State crew that Eric talks about. Whether it's, you know, Evander, Ding Ding, Kane, Ding Ding, down in Edmonton, whether it's Timmy Anderson, you know, still fighting the good fight for Mr. Robinson. It never ends. And again, we must be reminded of that always. We must be reminded of it always because We always have to fight. It gets tiring after a while. It gets mentally and physically frustrating, but we have to do it in a sense because of our ancestors. We have to do it because of the kids. We have to do it because we have to be here to tell this story, like Fred says all the time. And we can never take that for granted. One of the things I do at least once or twice every year is I pull out a DVD called The Black Press,
soldiers
without guns.
And it reminds me of why we do what we do and why we continue to do what we do. Because
that's a great that's awesome, T Mac. Because I'm going to bounce out real fast, but you know, soldiers without guns is very valid. Because, like you said, so oftentimes, and again, I've been building with you brothers for a while. When I first started, Western Power to Roland, we talked about some of his goals, and he embraced me as well. In all those areas that you speak to, it's the power, right? Because we start from scratch. Literally, we just get together, Fred as well, all the brothers here, and we start talking about subject matters. And then next thing you know, we got films, right? We got Hall of Fame inductee. We have all this, highlighted energy on HBCUs. And it all just starts with collective consciousness, which I speak to. And that's all it takes. We don't have to be boots in the street. We are mind power. That's the fear factor. And when we unite, we come there with a collective thought. That's all it takes. That's all it takes, because that consortium in itself moves the needle. And it's a pleasure to hear where all the brothers are sharing, and you're dead on, man. And I appreciate you sharing that.
I'd rather have a small group where we're all on the same page as opposed to a large group where this one's talking about this one and this one's talking about that one and all the stuff.
Well, in military parlance, they call that the SEALs.
There you go.
That's right.
Tony,
before you go, Tony, there are bets now on the amount of fights between the Yankees and the Mets when they play the Subway Series.
You know what? I've always said this, because the Mets had their chance to get it right in 2000, and they failed miserably. My thing
where the hell
is
Billy Randolph when you need him?
Yeah, somewhere taking a trip to California when he shouldn't have, but that's a whole other story in and of itself.
Oh, he met it with Derek Fisher. I get it.
There you go. I will tell this to every Yankee fan. Y'all go ahead and be the best team in New York. I want to be the best team in baseball. Okay,
Come on.
Them six games don't mean Jack and Jill shit to me, as far as I'm concerned.
No shit.
Yeah, somewhere Kevin Mitchell agrees with you.
Absolutely. Barehanded at all. Barehanded at all.
I'm going to be short and sweet with this one, but I got to go back in time a little bit. This is a little after 89. Wall had come down, and Germany was struggling with reunification, because for everybody that was, drinking sect and saying, everything's cool, there was issues elsewhere, especially, of course, you get to the east border and cities in between. I was living in Cologne and Dusseldorf at the time. My band had just finished a gig, and we were putting stuff away in the storehouse in Dusseldorf on Bichhausenweg. And me and my lead guitarist, Dieter, I just put some stuff away. And, of course, there were gangs of assholes doing shit. Now, we had always had this couple who we knew from in the building. We said, hey, them, no big deal. I didn't know or give a fuck whether they were gay or not. But these guys wanted to start some shit. And don't you know, out of nowhere, a couple came and helped us out. And we helped these motherfuckers off. And didn't say much after that other than just hi and all that shit, but it reminds me of what Dave Chappelle said in his comedic episode, where he said respect is universal, it's bisexual, it goes both ways. And that's exactly what was happening then, because we went about our business and respected those who respected us. It went both ways, and the help came. Even if it seemed like after a while we didn't need it, we got it. And we got it because we were about that. And
I want anybody
to be about that one. But you got to make sure that when the moment comes, you got to be ready for it, because I believe it in all my heart. Show up for the moment. And when you are, you're just going to have to deal with it. Because the bottom line is,
it's time to get down. Got to get down.
That's right. What happened in Buffalo, what happened in Texas, we've seen this movie before, and it don't look good for us.
A young man named Lee Harvey Oswald seems the best. Born New Orleans, 1939. Father dead. Mother remarried and divorced. Boy was placed in an orphanage for a while, then shunted about with his mother till he was 17. You can start now, Tim. He has a remarkably muddled political record that could be steered strongly to the left.
On October 24, 1956, 7 days after his 17th birthday, subject enlisted in the United States Marine Corps.
Attended aviation fundamental school at Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida, studying basic radar theory, map reading, and air traffic control procedures. Began studying Russian language and taking pro-communist attitudes. Fellow Marines called him Oswaldovich and Rusky.
In the Marine Corps? Not a chance. Preparing a cover for him.
Naval intelligence?
Either that or CIA.
Go ahead, Tim.
Arrived in Yokosuka, Japan aboard the Bexar for assignment at Atsugi, 20 miles west of Tokyo.
Isn't that where we monitored the U-2s over China?
And a lot of other stuff. Court-martialed on June 27th for pouring a drink over a non-commissioned officer's head and use of insulting language. Confined 28 days at hard labor.
Only 28 days? I'm giving him trouble. They're fixing him a phony.
On August 17, 1959, he requested a dependency discharge on the ground that his mother required his support. Discharge was granted September 11th.
Well, that was easy.
Easier than you think. Watch this.
To get the discharge, he needed a doctor's affidavit. Otolaryngologist Marvin Danvers gave one, saying he started treating Oswald's mother on September 5. Even though his letter is dated September 3.
I'll be goddamned.
On the same day, September 4, Oswald applied for and received a passport. Quote, in order to attend Albert Schweitzer College. Unquote. Passport granted. Good for European travel, including USSR. Arrived in Moscow October 16. Ordered to leave USSR by 8 p.m. October 21.
The Ruskies weren't buying.
Slashed his wrist same day. Taken to Botkinskaya Hospital. Released a week later. Visited U.S. Embassy on October 31. Stated his determination to revoke American citizenship and turn classified data over to the Russians. Can find no record that embassy tried to dissuade him from handing over classified material.
How much did he actually have?
Location of all bases on the West Coast, radio frequencies for all squadrons, all tactical call signs, strength of squadron, number and type of aircraft in each, names of commanding officers, and the authentic code for entering and exiting the ADIZ radio and radar ranges.
Jeez.
On January 4, 1960, Oswald receives permission to remain in the USSR for 1 year.
They're beginning to buy.
On January 5, he is given 5,000 rubles and assigned to work at the Belorussian radio and television factory in Minsk.
They've bought.
In 1961, he writes a series of letters to the embassy concerning possible return to the United States.
When was power shot down in that U-2?
May 1, 1960. He was there all right. But I'm not sure there was any connection. They've been spotting our U-2s for a long time. Thanks, Tim. I'll take it from here. Right, Mr. Farrington. On March 17th, he met a young lady, a graduate pharmacist. 6 weeks later, they were married. As a result of Oswald's letters, the State Department informed Embassy that for security reasons, Oswald should be given a passport. There was a long wrangle with the Russians about exit visas for his wife, but everything on our side was as smooth as silk. The embassy issued a passport. They lent him $435 in traveling expenses, and he passed through immigration June 13th, 1962, en route to Fort Worth.